Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. I just want to pray for Debbie as she reads it to us and Sarah as she preaches it to us, that our hearts would be turned towards you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. This evening's reading is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 19. And you can find this on page 1156 of the Church Bible. The resurrection of the dead. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Debbie. It's Debbie's birthday today. Happy birthday, Debbie. Okay, so in about 6 weeks' time, 16-year-old lads and girls will be sitting down to do their GCSEs. And I am hoping that on the religious studies paper, there will be a question such as this. The resurrection is the most important event in Jesus' life. Evaluate. Now, not only do I want that because I think that that's quite a good question to get good marks in, also it gets them to think about salvation. But anyway, how would you answer that? How would you answer a question, a statement like that, that the resurrection is the most important part of Jesus' life? If you were here last Sunday, I hope that most of you would say yes. Oh my gosh, the place was full of joy and hope. There were baptisms going on. Of course, the resurrection is the most important part of Jesus' life. A week on, I don't know what's happened in your life. Are you still saying the resurrection is the most important part of Jesus' life? It was good that we had that Anglican phrase, he is risen indeed, hallelujah. What about though when times are tough? Is the resurrection the most important part of Jesus' life? What about when sorrow and hardship comes your way? Is the resurrection the most important part of Jesus' life? In the middle of August when you're on the beach, is the resurrection the most important part of Jesus' life? You may say, in an argument against that, that the cross, the crucifixion, is the most important part of Jesus' life. Of course, we walk around with crosses around our neck. We don't walk around with tombs around our neck. I think I could start a good thing, actually. I reckon I could go into business and start saying we need to wear the tomb, the empty tomb. But we wear crosses. We hold crosses. We do the sign of the cross if you're that way inclined. But I want to show you from Scripture why I believe and why I hope that you, at the end of this service, will passionately believe that the resurrection is the most important and fundamental part of Jesus' life and ministry. The Corinthian church, they were a passionate church. Paul loved them. Paul wanted them to be the best they can be, but they got themselves into a rut. You see, Paul always responds to the church's need. If you look at the letters in the New Testament, Paul is responding to a situation that is happening at that church at that time. And so if you look at Corinthians, you see that they're struggling and doubting the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to read the whole chapter at some point, it's a fantastic chapter. But they are struggling. They are doubting the resurrection. They are doubting that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. They are doubting the importance of the resurrection. Is it really important that we believe this event? Is it important that we believe a physical resurrection? Isn't it more a metaphorical resurrection? And they were struggling with the importance of this event. But Paul knew that he had to address this. And that's why we have 1 Corinthians 15. And the reason why he knew he had to address it is because he knows that what you believe and what you understand about Jesus affects how you live. And so if you don't believe and if you don't understand the physical resurrection of our Lord and Savior, then your life will be impacted by that and you will not be able to live the powerful, Christ-filled, Holy Spirit life that we need to be living in this day and age. And so he knew that for the Corinthian church. That's why he addresses them so passionately, and that's why tonight we're going to address you passionately in the same understanding. There are five things that I believe that we need to walk out of here knowing why the resurrection is the most important, earth-shattering, scientifically defying, cataclysmic event that has ever happened. The first one is what I tell my students all the time. Many people were crucified. If you wanted a day out in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago, you would take the family to the crucifixions, okay? If you've ever watched The Life of Brian, you will know that it was an event that they would go up to the crucifixion to watch. You've seen The Life of Brian, yeah? Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It was a thing that happened. If you were a common criminal in that day and age, you would get crucified. And so it was a common event to see people being crucified. For us, it's like alien. We have never seen someone being crucified. But if you lived 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, you would see this. This was happening all the time. The Romans were quite expert crucifiers. But what you didn't see is those people that had been crucified, that had been put to death, who were full of rigor mortis, 3 days later coming back to life. And so why the resurrection is the most important event is because it hadn't happened before. It's not a common occurrence. Nobody else had done it. Ah, I hear you say. But Lazarus, he came back to life. He died again. Jairus' daughter came back to life. She died again. She needed, and he needed, Jesus to raise them to life. Jesus, through the power of the Spirit, was able to burst open that tomb and come back to life. We also see the disciples. They respond to the crucifixion in a way of retreat. We know that they're in the upper. They're in an upper room. They're hiding. They're mortified. Their hope and their life has been destroyed because of what has happened on the cross. They're not going around saying, Christ has died. Christ has been crucified. They're not doing that. You'll see that they're quite sad. Of course, death brings sadness, but they're not joyful. They're not full of hope, having seen Jesus being crucified. But 3 days later and the 50 days after, and then the New Testament shows us that the disciples were going around jumping for joy. They were shouting, they were talking, they were expressing their hope because he had come back to life. It's the resurrection that gives the disciples, the apostles, power, not the crucifixion. Now, I am not saying the crucifixion is not important. Of course I'm not. I'm a passionate believer that Christ died for our sins. But if Jesus had not come back to life, would we have ever known that our sins were dealt with once and for all? We would not. Because he would have been like everybody else. Yes, we believe that there was a spiritual event taking place between the Father and the Son, and he was forgiving the sins of the world. But we don't see that on the cross. We see a body broken and someone dying. That's what they would have seen. The resurrection is the thing that gives the people hope, that gives the disciples hope. The second thing is that death has been destroyed. The ultimate form of sin is death. We were never meant to die, I don't believe. In the garden, we were meant to live with God forever. But sin came in and destroyed the relationship not only between human beings and God, but destroyed our bodies, destroyed creation, and death and decay entered the world. And it is only through Christ rising above that do we see that he's conquered death. You see, the sacrificial system that had taken place all those years, they sacrificed the lamb, the goat, whatever they were sacrificing, but they had to do it again and again and again, and every day of atonement they had to do the same thing. But on that cross, because we see Christ coming back and conquering death, it is finished. So when he says on that cross, it is finished, it is finished. No more sacrificial system. No more having to atone for the sins. It's done. And the reason why we know it's done is because he gets out of the grave and he walks out of the grave and he says, death has been destroyed. I am the resurrection and the life. And so we know that our sins are forgiven. This is your fault because you prayed. We know our sins are forgiven because of the resurrection, not because of what happened on the cross, but because of he's actually, and you know, dealt with death, dealt with decay, dealt with destruction. You know, when he came out of the grave, there was not a smell of death on him. You've been to nursing homes, you've been to all sorts, I don't know if you've seen a dead body, you smell it, don't you? You smell death. You can see death. Death is there, it lingers. But on that third day, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he folded the grave clothes. No smell of death on those nice folded grave clothes. No smell of death lingering. All that was present in that tomb was life. Emptiness, because there was life abounding. Our sins have been forgiven. No longer do we live in sin, which is what Paul tells the Corinthians. If Christ hadn't risen, we would still be in our sins. And we're not. We are forgiven, and we are forgiven forever because death has been destroyed. The third thing, I love this verse, teach my kids this all the time. If Christ hadn't been raised, our preaching would be useless. I said to the morning congregation, if Christ had not risen from the dead, I would not be standing here. I can think of better things to do on a Sunday morning, about 11:45. I can think of better things to do on a Sunday evening, 6:30, than preaching if I didn't believe in the resurrection. If I didn't believe that this was changing. If I didn't believe that the power could change people's lives. If I didn't believe that the resurrection was the most important event. I am not going to waste my time preaching this. I'm not going to waste my time people seeing me doing this and think, oh my gosh, if I did not believe passionately that the resurrection was the most important fundamental event. And anybody else that preaches from here believes the same thing. We would not be doing this. We don't do it for the money. We don't do it for the fame. We do it because we believe passionately that Jesus Christ's resurrection is the most powerful thing to happen in our lives. And how do we know that? For Peter and Paul, who were the main preachers of the New Testament. You see, Peter, he saw Christ die. He was destroyed because he had let him down. He was hiding, but he could passionately preach to thousands of people and go on and be martyred because he had encountered the risen Lord. The risen Lord said to him, Peter, you're mucked up, but you know what? I'm alive and you are restored, and you go and preach my name to people. And that's what he did. He preached not because he saw Jesus on the cross, not because he saw him die. He saw it because he saw the risen Lord Jesus. And how did Paul, someone who would persecute, who would kill Christians, how did this man go on to write the New Testament and write these things? Because he too encountered the risen Lord Jesus. He didn't encounter the crucified Lord Jesus. He encountered the risen Lord Jesus. It's alive. Our faith is alive. And this is what distinguishes us from any other faith, is that we serve a risen Savior. We have a risen God. He's not dead. He is alive and as active today as he was 2,000 years ago. Come on, come on, come on. This is proper Pentecostal. The fourth thing is, if Christ hadn't risen, you lot are wasting your time too. Not only am I wasting my time preaching, but you lot are wasting your time. Because if Christ has not been risen, your faith is useless. Your faith is in vain, it says in the Holy Scriptures. You know, you could be doing things. Think of what you could be doing. But you have chosen to be in here. You've chosen to be in this place. You've chosen to live for Christ because you know that he makes a difference. And you need to believe he makes a difference in your faith. Every time you step into a situation, you need to believe that the risen Lord Jesus makes a difference in your family situations. You need to believe that the risen Lord Jesus makes a difference in your workplace situations. You need to believe that the risen Lord Jesus makes a difference in this community. You need to believe the risen Lord Jesus makes a difference in this world, because he does, and that's what our faith is. You see, that's why Paul writes to the Corinthians, because he knows that if they don't believe in the resurrection, they walk around maybe praying. They walk around maybe reading their scriptures. They walk around maybe saying that Jesus died and, you know, God is good. But they don't walk around powerfully proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the risen Lord Savior. They don't have that power. So your faith is useless if you don't believe in the resurrection. And fifthly, it validates who Jesus is. For 3 years, Jesus has been going around doing some pretty fantastic stuff. He heals the blind, amazing. He makes the people that can't walk get up and walk. He brings in those that are ostracized. He brings in the leper, brings in Mary Magdalene. He brings people together. He says to someone, you can get up, and by the way, your sins are forgiven. So he's doing some God stuff as well. But none of that proves he is the Son of God, because as C.S. Lewis says, he could just be a madman. He could just be someone who's using a bit of magic. We've all seen people do amazing magic tricks. It could just be that. But the resurrection proves that he is the Son of God. Romans 1 verse 4 says, if Christ had not risen, it is through the resurrection that we know that he is the Son of God. We know that he is Jesus. We know that he is God, the Trinity. And so that everything that Jesus has said up until that point is true. When he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, he means it, because he's God. When he says you are forgiven and there's hope and there's an eternal life for you, he's meaning that. When he says I am the way to salvation, he's meaning that. So every single word uttered by our Lord is validated because of the resurrection, because nobody else could get up from a tomb of death apart from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Is that right? So what do we do about it then? Because that same power that made a dead body, rigor mortis, decaying, that same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power, the same spirit that is available to each and every one of us today. And I can't believe that any of us will want to walk through that door if we don't know and have the confidence and authority that the power of the resurrection gives us. I know that I can't face this week without the power of the resurrection in my life. I can't face the conversations that I'm going to have. I can't face the meetings that I'm going to have without the power of the resurrection in my life. And I know that is the same for you. I can't face the voices in my head that tell me I'm no good without the power of the resurrection. I can't face all the negativity and all the things like the temptations that I'm going to encounter without the power of the resurrection. And I can't face it's eternity without the power of the resurrection. You know, as a minister, I've had to, and anyone that's been in this situation knows that when someone on death row, I was visiting someone this week, that it may be the last time I see them. But I was able to guarantee her eternal life because of the resurrection. You can't do that without the power of the resurrection. You can't tell someone that, yes, your body may die physically, but there is an eternity waiting for you. And one day your physical body is going to rise also. So do you want that power? Do you want to walk in that power? Do you want to go to work in that power? Do you want to have relationships in that power? Because I do. Okay, so if you do, you need to stand up. Come on. We need to have the same power as a man who took his wife and his mother-in-law to the Holy Land in peacetime. And they were having a lovely time. And the mother-in-law, who was a bit grumpy and a bit miserable, as mother-in-laws tend to be sometimes, died. And so there was a bit of like, well, what do we do? And so the funeral, the undertakers in the Holy Land said, well, you can bury her here, 500 quid, bargain. Or if you want to, you can take her home, but it's going to cost you 10 grand to get her home. And the man said, no, we'll take her on the plane, we'll £10,000, we'll do it. Why would you want to waste 9,500? He said, I've heard that of 2,000 years ago, a man was buried and he came back to life. I can't take that chance. Can we have some music, please? We need that same confidence to walk around. We can't witness. If you're an evangelist here, and I know some of you are evangelists here, you can't witness without the power of the resurrection. Paul knew that. Paul knew that if you didn't believe in the power of the resurrection, if you didn't believe in a physical resurrection, that you couldn't be the Christian to witness. How did those early Christians face martyrdom? They faced it knowing the power of the resurrection, that one day their physical bodies may die, but they will rise. Whatever's in your life at this moment, whatever's going on in this moment, whatever is maybe for you seems dead and buried, but Jesus wants to raise, he can do that today. He can raise things that were dead. He can bring back to life things that you thought were down and out. Maybe you in your Christian lives, you haven't got that power. You don't walk in the reality. You so desire it, but you haven't got it. Well, today you can have it because that same power is available to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you rose from the grave. We thank you that you destroyed death. You destroyed decay. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will know that power, will know that spirit living inside us, that we will walk into every situation of our lives knowing that the Savior is inside us, that spirit of power is inside us, so that we can witness, so that we can love, so that we can be the people that you so desire us to be. Lord, if there's anything in our lives, I pray that anything that needs to be risen up, Lord, I pray that by your spirit you will rise it up. And I pray that we will have the confidence and the authority because of the power of Jesus in our lives. So come, Holy Spirit, do your thing. And as we seal this talk with communion and a response after, Lord, will you continue to minister to us in the power of your name? I serve a risen Savior. He is in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I know that he lives, and I pray that you will live in that reality too. In the name of Jesus, amen.